If not for the holiday yesterday, there wouldn't be a conflict.
Correct. Okay, we are recording. We are live.
Okay. This is the meeting for the Committee for Citizen Involvement on Tuesday, February 18th, 2020, and calling to order the meeting at, looks like 5:34. We have four members in attendance, three right here in the room and one by phone. So we'll go around and introduce ourselves and go from there. So Gary Walvotny, Planning Commission.
Shannon Knight, I guess I'm just, I'm a business member, I think, right?
Sure.
I think that's why they put me on.
And I'm Ed Schwarz. I'm here representing the Neighborhood Association President's Group.
Dan, you're up next.
All right, this is Dan Tedrow. I'm a citizen of West Lynn, and this is my first time calling the meeting, so thanks for having me.
Great, well, we're glad you're here.
And I'm Chris Myers, staff. Leave it at that.
So I'd like to welcome at least two of our three new members because we've been short. So it's great to finally have new people on the committee. So the first thing we have on the agenda is the approval of the October 15th, 2019 meeting notes, which was the last meeting. And we were pretty short. I mean, we just met quorum on that particular meeting. And tonight the mayor has a conflict with the city council meeting, and the other member at the time is no longer in West Lynn. So it's up to the four of us to make any revisions or approve the meeting notes. And I think I only had one comment, and that is that Emily Smith, it notes in here when Emily, she was just a few minutes late for the meeting, but she's not noted as being present up at the top of the meeting notes.
Okay. So it was Emily Smith?
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
And I think that was the only thing I really had a comment on.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't have any comments at all. I thought they looked good. So I'd go ahead and make a motion to approve the meeting notes with the change, the one change.
I'll second. And
I can vote because I was not here. Can I vote on what? I don't know. Although I listened to the meeting. So I'm not well enough to say anything.
And there, you can abstain, or there is, we've been told there's a precedent, there's cause that you can actually vote.
I can vote on minutes, I don't know.
For a meeting that you weren't attending.
I'll just abstain.
Okay. So all in favor say aye.
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 And the ayes have it.
Dan, did you have any opinion either way?
No, I wasn't there and I haven't seen the meeting minutes, so I'll abstain if that's okay.
Sure. Okay. So we have two in favor, two abstentions. Not sure what that gets us, but
I mean, there's no no's. It's all, I think,
yeah,
it's only
no
if
no's so
outweigh the yeas.
Yeah,
I would think.
True, and it's notes. It's not technically minutes.
Right.
You know, it's just an approval. Yeah, these are the notes from the meeting, unless someone has a major issue.
So the next item on the agenda is election of officers, which is typically the first. We've done it at the first meeting held at the beginning of each year.
Yep.
And so I'll open it up for nominations for chair.
OK.
Gary, I think you're doing a great job. I would like to see you continue in that role, so I will nominate Gary.
Had a hunch that was coming.
I'll second that.
I guess all in favor say aye.
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 Thank you.
The ayes have it, right?
We can revisit this at any time. And then we need a vice chair. So with that, I'll nominate Ed Schwarz.
Okay. Turn the tables.
Yeah, right.
I'll second that.
So all in favor say aye.
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 Got it.
That was painless. Yeah.
Okay. We have no one with us for public comments, so I think we can pass that over. The next item, actually bringing it up kind of as a bit of history, but it's also a current kind of current issue, and that's the reorganization of the committee for CCI. And just to let you know, last summer we had a discussion about CCI and the way it is structured right now in the Community Development Code, we have the chair of the Planning Commission, we have the president of the Neighborhood Association presidents, we have two members of council, and then a business member at large, and then two members of the community at large. And the discussion centered around it being pretty heavily focused on four of the seven seats are obligated to positions that are with other groups. And it would be nice to have other members of the community. So last summer we had a discussion and made a recommendation to council. I don't know if you have the letter with you. It's in the package here, Dan.
It's in the package.
So basically there was a unanimous support for reorganizing the CCI to be consistent with other city council advisory groups. And so that meant having a council liaison that attends and participates but doesn't vote, whereas before we had two council members that were voting. So that has gone to council. There have been other things going on. I think they've had a brief discussion about it, but as far as I know, there's been no action taken on it at this point. So fast forward to October and the last meeting that we had, there was another discussion about that, and changing that recommendation to back off from having, you know, just council liaison, but also having a member of council as a voting member. That would still be four members of the public on the CCI, and we voted on that, and it was an affirmative. Due to, like, the following week, John Boyd was injured and was off work for months, and he and I usually coordinate on these letters to go to council, and so the letter was not prepared is the short story. And so I wanted to bring it up again. And I mean, there was an approval to, you know, in October to have a member of council back on the CCI as a voting member. And I'm not quite sure where we want to go with that. Ed, do you have, since you were there?
Well, I think that, as I recall the discussion, Russ Axelrod was there, Mayor Axelrod, and he thought it would be good to have one council member on the committee and for them to be a voting member. I was fine with that. Like you said, Gary, it's still it would still be four members of the public, and then three people from one from the council, one from the neighborhood association presidents, and one from planning commission who are fixed. So I thought it was fine to go ahead and make that change, and then so I would just suggest we move forward and write a letter to the council,
okay,
updating the previous letter from August. With that new recommendation, and unless our other members have other comments.
I mean, it seems fine. How often, it seemed weird to, is this because of like a quorum issue? Like how often was two council members actually able to be here because they're so busy?
They were actually here regularly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So does it make less of a quorum issue than to have just one versus, or?
I think it was more an issue of representation from the community, and
then you'd have one more person from the public being able to be here instead of council, which I know has harder time getting here because of conflicts like this and stuff. That's what I'm thinking perspective of. You'd have another member being able to most likely be here if you had one voting versus two. So is the question just, should have about one at all?
Well, and I'll just say my position at the time, last summer and last fall, was that if not for the fact that it's good to have planning commission representation, just because we're so involved with the planning process, if I had my preference, all seven seats would be members of the public, and they wouldn't be, none of them would be slotted for dedicated appointments. And so,
well, and I mean, I could see, because council doesn't vote like an EDC, they're just a liaison, right? So they don't vote. So I can see the argument both ways, where, you know, why does council vote in this particular group versus other groups?
Right.
But
and that was a point of discussion, because it's the only advisory group where a council member or two council members have votes. So, but I can prepare the letter revising this suggestion from last August and from the meeting in July, and get that passed on to council.
I mean, that's fine.
Okay.
I was just trying to understand it.
Yeah. So that's where the history comes from. And to go back even further, I've been told that before my time on planning commission and Jesse's time on planning commission, that the PC was actually the CCI. So, excuse me. So they would dedicate a part of the evening to CCI issues. Okay, so I guess we can move on to the CCI report on the Westland land use planning process. And I'm not sure if you've had a chance to take a look at the report.
I tried to today.
It's a summary of. It's a summary of about 50 meetings going through the land use planning process, and then I'm going to have to go get a drink of water, I think. And then presenting a number of proposed changes to council.
Grab some water here.
Okay, thanks. So, the crux of it is that the planning process could do well with additional public participation. Excuse me, I should have stopped and brought coffee.
I know, I needed something.
So this report was based on a number of presentations from city attorney, and this started so 3 years ago at this time. So in 2018, actually 2017.
I have a cough drop if you want.
No, it's just dry in the building, I think. So started in back in 2017, and then we had presentations by city attorney, staff, and then we went into the process, and we started. So it was we were meeting in this room, and we had a a wall graphic, so to speak, and it was the planning process laid out on butcher paper, kind of like that, and it stretched from this end, from down here, around and around the corner.
Jeez.
it was pretty long, and you'll get a sense of it if you go to the back of the report. There's now a quasi-judicial land use action process, and John Boyd pulled that together. And previously, there had not been a process diagram for the land use process, and so this has been. I mean, if nothing else came out of those year and a half of meetings, this was incredible just to have this, and people could point to it and say, you know, we can fit in changes here, or, you know, at least understanding in the conversation where the hiccups were in the process. And if you look, there are sidebars on the three columns. You'll see the beginning of the 120-day process, and that's written into state statute and takes you down to the bottom of the first column, the middle column, and then down at the bottom of the third column is the end of the 120 days. So there are a lot of things that happen in that 120 days. So the changes that are really helpful, at least for public participation, are in that first half column. And that's where a fair amount of focus was spent. And it took us a long time just to get through that part and then to move forward into the other portions. So.
Good job. Workflow processes aren't easy.
Yeah, I have to give, I mean, huge credit to John Boyd, because he went through and pulled it together, and we were all pretty happy to see it. So, anyway, it was presented to council a year and a half ago. You can see the date on the report is July 17th, 2018. And it went to council shortly after that, and they've had discussions on it, but it is has not had substantial consideration, and the reason that it really needs to is to avoid some of the public participation problems that we've had in the past, and so the sooner these recommendations are considered by a council-appointed work group, or directing it back to the CCI, council directing it back to the CCI for work, that will help initiate the code changes that ultimately will go to the Planning Commission. Then we make a recommendation for acceptance, or we modify things and then send it on to council, and then hopefully we get new code. So that's the introduction and history of this. I mean, there were a lot of hours that went into it, and unfortunately we wore through a few members as well. So
you're scaring us off.
Well, the hard work is done. So So I don't know if you have any questions on it, or if there's anything I can explain further.
So basically, what's the next step?
We are waiting to hear from council. So I guess it's, you know, a consideration. Should we send a letter to council asking the status of this report? And we've had discussions about it, but but it's really in council's hands at this point.
Okay.
So, and with, you know, events like tonight's council meeting, they then certainly aren't going to consider it tonight. So,
yeah, I think with the turnover and, you know, management, city manager, et cetera, it's probably not a bad idea to remind the council that this needs to get on the agenda at some time for discussion. I had a question also.
Sure, sure.
So the workflow diagram, is this, this is the result of what's in the document.
Is that this correct? Is actually the way it is right
that's,
now.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Because the reason I asked that is I noticed one of the recommendations under 6.3 is two meetings with the neighborhood association.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
That's something that has been high on my desired list for quite some time. And it's not reflected in the workflow diagram because that should happen right before the application. The second meeting should happen right before the application is deemed complete.
Right. And just to give you a little background on that, and Ed is probably fully aware of this, when an application comes to the city. Hi.
Vicki Olson.
Hi, Vicki. That's okay. So when an application comes in to the city, well, before that, before the application makes its way through a completeness review, there's a presentation to the neighborhood association where the project is located, and so that is early on, really. I mean, for a lot of projects, at least, it's early on in their design stage, and so they don't always have a solid design, or based on public comment at the neighborhood association meeting, there may be significant changes in the design, and as it is right now, there that design doesn't get revisited by the neighborhood associations. So they don't have that upfront opportunity to then comment on a change in the design. So the need for a second meeting is to accommodate that part of the process, or a desired part of the process. Because a lot of the time we get, when the application comes to the Planning Commission, we are getting questions and responses from the public, and especially that particular neighborhood association, regarding changes, and it's because they haven't been fully informed, you know, until about 2 weeks prior. We usually only get about 2 weeks to review the application before we have a hearing. That would give the community more time to reflect on the design change, if there any.
How, can I ask a question?
Sure.
How has the process of, you want to do this before the 30-day completeness, two meetings with associations that meet once a month, so how are you overcoming that logjam of an issue?
That's...
Mind you as well, that 30 days is us as staff balancing all of the files that we have and the timelines we're hitting. So that neighborhood, that second meeting, how do we do that?
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Gary, but I think the second meeting is optional, first of all. The neighborhood can waive it if it desires. Secondly, if they want to have that meeting, I think it's on the neighborhood then to call a special meeting if they have to, okay. To go ahead and accommodate that timeline to make sure it's going to still work.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So you'd have to change bylaws or something with the neighborhood association that requires them to not delay it, though, and hold that special meeting, right?
Yeah, because the 30 days is a state law. It's not something right. we just made up in Westland.
No, I know.
So that, yeah, there is that.
I was that's thinking
a,
that
that's a hard 30-day.
But it's true, because that happens. We get it either way too early in the process, and so they can't answer any questions because they don't have any plans yet right. or anything like that. And then, or they are so late in the process that there's not enough time to get any of the changes that the neighborhood wants to see done because they're already paid for their, you know, mm-hmm. plans to be done, and they don't want to pay more to get new plans done. Right. So, which is an acceptable reason as well, but there does seem like there should be more process.
So you would need to change bylaws so that you could vote or call a special neighborhood meeting?
I'm not really sure if I would or not, because I think if, you know, the 30-day limit is a state, like you said, a state law. Yeah. So even if, you know, a neighborhood can't really override that. So
yeah, I'm just thinking what yeah. procedure is there in there that's going to force the neighborhood and not try to delay it so that the applicant is delayed on the process or cutting it too late. I just worry about that.
Yeah. Well, if it were delayed by the neighborhood association beyond the 30 days, I mean, that just opens up the city for a lawsuit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So how can we force the neighborhood?
And action from the state to the city as well. They wouldn't look kindly on us doing that, so that there might be some repercussions from the state to the city, not just legal issues as well.
Yeah. To my knowledge right now, there's nothing in any of the NA bylaws that require the first meeting to be held on any particular time frame.
Right.
And I think the NAs have been very accommodating in trying to work with the applicants for these developments right. to hold a meeting as soon as they can once right. they're notified about it.
I just think if it's controversial, there might be an attempt to stall.
It's possible. Yeah. I mean, it certainly could be. So it would be something that.
But it seems in that case that we're under time constraints because of state statute. And so if the neighborhood association can't accommodate a second meeting,
then they can waive.
The missed opportunity,
yeah. right?
Yeah, that's on the neighborhood association, yeah. not on the developer.
Right.
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 right. I mean, that seems fair.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing is we have an application now. We've been through pre-app. The actual application hasn't happened yet, but he has met with the neighborhood association in the area. And so he's already received early feedback from the neighborhood association and made some adjustments to the development. Once that application comes in, we shouldn't have that hard of a time getting sort of a second meeting that will actually be considered the first meeting, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It'll be the official meeting, I should say. So he's done sort of a pre-qualifier, knowing that it's kind of controversial, and he might as well get out in front of it, get the feedback, which he did, and then he'll get his actual neighborhood associated meeting in that 30 days. So he's doing the same thing. He's just doing it over a longer period because he did it after pre-app but before application. Okay. And that was up to him. I mean, that's you know, his choosing.
Yeah.
But it seemed to make sense. It gave him ample time to rearrange things and change some visual aspects that the neighborhood wanted. So I don't know if we can, I don't know. Just thoughts.
Yeah. No, that's good. Go ahead, Dan.
Oh, sorry about that. So just forgive me, I'm kind of just getting up to speed, so I'll ask some silly questions. But just to kind of reiterate what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing with the process, and please correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like it suggested changes to the quasi-judicial land use action process based on lessons learned from the last 3+ years. Is that kind of correct?
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Perfect. And then it sounds like the next step is to get the council to effectively adopt the recommendations.
Yeah, and then the next step from that is for council to either direct it to a work group that they would, with the help of staff, then get other volunteers from the community to staff a work group that would work on the new community development code, and then. Or they can direct it back to the CCI to work on it as well.
Okay.
So, and then ultimately that that draft code then goes through a hearing at, goes through a work session and a hearing at the Planning Commission, and then Planning Commission then recommends the code to council for approval.
Mm-hmm. Got it. And what's the, and forgive me, I have it, what's the cost of doing nothing, or the impact of doing nothing?
Good point. A lot of frustration.
Okay. And I ask not to be an obstructionist, but because that can be a nice way to get the council to kind of move forward, right?
Yeah, I think we're all kind of surprised that that this report is sat for a year and a half, because
especially if two people on council helped develop it.
Right. Well, and so there were two members of council who were on the CCI working on this report and very involved with the drafting of this report, and then partway through, a third member of council replaced one, and so so there have been a lot of people who are familiar with the document, and but we're still not getting anywhere.
Okay.
So,
I mean, this from a staff perspective anyway, so, you know, certainly correct me if I'm wrong, but it does seem like you're asking the cost of doing nothing. I mean, financially, there's no actual cost, really, at the end of the day. But from a community perspective, my take anyway is this is an avenue in which we're adding in a layer for the neighborhood, wherever the development happens to be, to have a second round of opinion and, I guess, in some way approval of a development. And it's not everything. It's what subdivisions, you know, the design review process, zone changes, things like that.
Yeah.
So that the cost is, I mean, I think there's in the past been frustration over certain subdivisions or certain developments that the neighborhood hasn't necessarily liked, but hasn't had enough time to sort of make an official position before we've moved through the planning process, because of course the process, the timelines the state has set forth, that's what moves our process, if that made any sense.
Yeah, it did.
So, you know, I think it's a way to maybe ease some of the frustrations and tensions that neighborhoods have had regarding developments.
Right.
I would also throw out there, you know, it's not as if we have a whole bunch of these that are going to come up. They'll come up, but we're running out of room. You know, we're down to about space for about 500 homes in West Lynn, give or take a few, depending on how you build
them. Right.
So, you know, and some of those parcels are, you know, old family parcels. They may or may not get sold someday. So, but it is worth noting. So I think that's really what that cost is you continue the frustrations without allowing neighborhoods to have that time. But that 30-day window is a real window that doesn't have flexibility. So it's a matter of neighborhoods sort of adjusting a little bit to fit into that 30-day. Mm-hmm. At least that's how I see it.
And I'll just add real quick, though, as far as this, you know, what we have left to build on, that's vacant land, but then there's always, you know, with the new, what was it, house built 2001?
Yeah.
I mean, somebody could come in and level a single house and put up four more, right, on a lot that was...
quadplex, not four more houses.
It'd be
one structure.
Quadplex, right, one structure. But even there, you know, I think the neighborhoods would like to have input on those types of things as well that can be coming along.
Yeah, and I think that's right. I think one of the other things to keep in mind is not all lots are going to be available in size for a quadplex or a triplex. You still have a floor to area ratio to meet, and you have you can only cover so much of the lot as well. So, you know, the structures can only be so big based on the zone that are in. So that the zone would still apply, but you're right. I mean, that's certainly something that in the next year and a half is going to get finalized and we'll have to deal with in some form.
Well, and EDC is working on rezoning a lot of 43. Mm-hmm. So you might have, you know, depending on what we do there, some more developments for commercial and
multi-family. And how council takes to that too, if council is willing to grab that and run or not. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Some redevelopment in the 43 corridor or some changes. Yeah, so those will be big decisions, yeah. So, I mean, it's certainly... Oh, go ahead, Dan, sorry.
I apologize to keep interrupting.
No.
It sounds like a pretty good strategy to kind of reframe the conversation. It's a great strategy. It's almost like a risk avoidance, especially with the upcoming changes to where, I mean, you could have, like you said, like a quadplex or a triplex plopped down in previously a single-family residence. And, you know, if you've got the option for a second neighborhood association, I mean, that seems like that would eliminate a lot of risk or potential heartache.
Yeah, I mean, it will be interesting. I mean, that's a good point. It will be interesting to see how the House Bill 2001 and 2003 play out.
I'm hoping lawsuits shut it down.
Well, yeah, I mean, we'll end up spending a fortune, I'm sure. I shouldn't say this on record, but it's probably true. We'll probably end up spending a fortune of Westland's money fighting that. They're looking at it as a state law. So how much opinion anyone can have on whether they get to build a quadplex or not is still kind of up in the air, if that makes sense. I mean, at some point, it's going to be a law, but what we in West Lynn and how far are we willing to battle that, I don't know. I can't answer that. That's a council decision. But no, you're right. I mean, you'd also want some control over the design of a quadplex if it's just a big square box. Mm-hmm. Or does it blend with the neighborhood,
Right. Have you seen some of the Portland architecture stuff? It's not that great.
No.
No joke.
That's Portland. Some of the old stuff's pretty nice.
I love the old stuff.
The old stuff in Irvington is really blends really well, but, we don't build it like that anymore.
Yeah.
So another significant, at least from the standpoint of the Planning Commission, another significant issue was that we get a staff report from planning. So there's a planner assigned to every project, and we get a staff report that goes through and summarizes completeness issues with the code and there's conversation, or there may be conversation discussions with other staff, other departments, and there can be a signature from someone in Public Works on the engineering side that they accept the planning department's report, but we never get a staff report from the engineering side. And I can't tell you how many times that would have been nice to have had, because of issues that come up for a particular project, whether that be, Sunset School or a subdivision. And so anyway, that's one of the things that this report also suggests or recommends is that even if it's a one-page letter, what we're looking for are issues, discussions that have been had between engineering and the applicant on, how did they come to a decision on the location and size of the stormwater detention pond. I mean, we get that information typically in the application, but sometimes there are fine points that we don't see because Public Works directs the applicant to do something and the applicant doesn't have a choice. And I've had applicants tell me that. We were told to do this. But we don't have the background from a staff report to help us in our decision making. So anyway, that's another, at least for me, it's another significant issue. And that falls out, after, the public participation process really. But
I always think that there's, at least when I listen to everything, that I can see there is this disconnect between planning and engineering staff kind of working collaboratively, at least. It doesn't seem like you know, planning knows what engineering is doing.
Well, a case in point is the are the streets over here a half mile away where they were not wide enough to allow for parking. And that decision was made at some point, but it wasn't, I mean, it was a number of years ago, but it really reared its head a couple years ago when there were issues. People were moving, actually then buying the houses that had been built, and there was an issue with an emergency vehicle trying to get down the street, and people didn't know that, whoa, we're not supposed to park on the street. Mm-hmm. And the fire truck couldn't get down. So that's been a big issue.
I don't want to.
Oh, but you will, Shannon, so just do it.
Well, it won't affect you because planning's always there. But I'm just saying maybe there needs to be a staff person at the meeting from engineering that can answer questions.
Wouldn't that be lovely?
So it used to be that way, and that's been brought up. And as far as I know, the city manager said that's not going to happen unless there are questions for an engineer. They don't want to send another staff person to sit there for 3 hours if there's nothing to do for an engineer.
But I mean, if you know that they're, if Planning Commission is seeing from the application that they're going to have questions about engineering, can they ask for an engineering staff to be at present at the meeting?
Yeah.
I mean, I saw the same thing happen with the parks master plan, where you had questions and no parks person was there to answer questions.
Right.
I mean, it was, and I don't feel, listening to the parks meeting, that information was properly relayed from the planning staff to the parks department. There was something lost in translation because I felt like what planning was from the planning commission was asking for from parks was completely different from what parks discussed at the board meeting, and that created, I think, this rift for no reason because I feel like it was just a little of telephone going on and not the proper information was being relayed. My opinion is listening to something. Mm-hmm. But
I agree. And we would love to have other staff people there, or in lieu of that, having a letter that discusses, you know, issues that are associated with engineering.
And, you know, I may be speaking out of turn. I think that, I think it's a great idea. We would love that in planning to have that support from engineering when you guys need that, whether it's PC or whomever. You know, we feel like, you know, we run the counter, we're out there with citizens, and that's not necessarily the case with every department here at City Hall. So we would like that a lot because it would help us and move the process forward. I mean, we have the 120 days we're trying to push. Right. And when we get stuck in the middle because of issues that can't be answered, you know, it pushes us 2 weeks back.
And there are times that the 120-day limit is actually pushed out.
Right? Yes, you can get extensions.
And you can get an extension from the applicant.
Yeah.
But that's mostly because they recognize, well, we can either... We can either take a chance on it, you know, and push the issue and not give an extension, or we can give the extra time.
Well, in an appeal to, say, council or LUBA could go a lot longer than a 60-day extension given to Planning Commission, or given to the process, I should say.
Right. Because their other option is to appeal what we would do within 120 days if we didn't get an extra month. Yeah. 2 weeks.
I think we could continue to work on the coordination between planning and the Planning Commission. That would probably be through you, Gary, but just what questions and needs would you guys have of, say, engineering, since we're talking about engineering, where we can then either, you know, request that they come, mm-hmm. or if a letter would suffice, you know, we could work on the coordination between us.
Right.
And try to pull in engineering as necessary. I think that would be if we continue to do that. We've been working on our relationship with engineering.
Yeah, we've tried.
We're making steps.
We've tried to do that.
Yeah.
And historically, it's been challenging.
Mm-hmm. So, but you know,
sometimes things change and different people are in the mix and different people are out of the mix, and maybe that helps.
Yeah.
You never know. Yeah. Just like councils turn over, commissions turn over, and yeah. suddenly the whole attitude changes. Like, suddenly this is important, when yesterday it wasn't important. So you never know with people changing around. So, I mean, it's worth continuing to push that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that
yeah.
there's any way that they can be forced to the table, but we can continue to work on getting them to the table.
Yeah.
Hope they're not listening to this. Love you, planning or engineering.
But I have a question.
Sure.
I'm Vicki, and I'm sorry I'm late. I just came from Sailor.
That's fine.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Understood.
So when I was reading this, I do a lot of constituent work, and so it's the constituents being the people of Westland. So they want information. So is there, do they have trouble getting information, and then they get agitated? Is that kind of what I... Is it hard to go to the website and find answers, or?
It depends on what stage of the process you're at.
Okay.
I'll let Ed. You want to talk about the neighborhood?
I mean, is that like something that needs to be worked on, or? I mean,
yes.
What?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think there has been frustration. I think, you know, there have been some improvements to the website. I haven't tried to do a search on it lately. That was always a challenge if you tried to search.
It's still a challenge.
Okay. That hasn't changed. But in this document, one of the suggestions is to make it easier to track a particular application through the process instead of just going by the numerical, you know, or the number that it's given by the city. Right. Yes, exactly. Those type of numbers.
Subdivision,
right. AP.
They're usually titled, okay. Cornwall.
So, if I didn't know what I was looking for, I'd have to click through all of them.
Right.
Well, you could also just scroll in on the map if you know where you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, they're all pinned on the map, so if you know that it's something down near, I don't know, Main Street, just keep closing in, and that would help. But, you know, you're right. I mean, it's not perfect, no doubt
yeah,
about it.
I
have to do the same thing. So
It is better than it was. And certainly, you know, when you click on any one of those applications, then you go to a page that should have all the pertinent documentation. And typically it does. In a perfect world, I would like to be able to subscribe to, you know, an application and say, show me when anything new pops up here,
that'd
right?
be a good idea.
Because, you know, then you get an email and you can go look and see what it was instead of having to search, you know, and go
so
back there.
You can't do that right now.
No, you can't.
There's
do
no
that
notifications.
Because right you only get notified really if you're within like 500 feet or something, right?
Right,
the project,
right.
Yeah.
Which is
you
not
get
many
a,
people.
A mail, a piece of postal mail from the city if you're within 500 feet.
Is that a software issue, do you think? Because at the Capitol, we can get notified when there's changes to bills and stuff. So it's all software?
It's
so
probably software-driven, I would think.
I would think just what little I know about web design, I actually know a little bit about it. But, you know, if you can monitor a folder somewhere and say if a document within this folder changes or if there's a new document in this folder, then trigger something, right? And that could.
I don't know if they have that level of so because we went through this with EDC when they were doing the website redesign, and we talked with Shane and they
right.
in order this the company that they buy this website from, they're kind of limited. That's why the website had
right.
sort of a redesign, but not a complete redesign because. It would be really expensive to completely redesign it, so you still have to work within the framework of what this...
Mm-hmm. What they offer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I wasn't saying that as presently configured, that it would be easy to, or even possible to do it on our website, but I'm just thinking in a perfect world, it would be nice to have that capability.
So, but they might be able to do it something more through, like, a listserv or something, where you could sign up for the listserv and then... That would take extra staff time to have to post it to the listener for every time something changes.
Yeah.
But it could be something like that.
Yeah. But, you know, just to get back to the more general question, I think, you know, as Gary said earlier, it's been, from a neighborhood standpoint, oftentimes when the developer or the applicant comes to that first neighborhood meeting with their proposal, it's very...
very undeveloped, right? I mean, it's a very generic. Sometimes they don't even know how, if it's a development application, they don't even know how many homes they're going to put on the site. Sometimes it's very So the NA's get a little frustrated because all we can do is, you know, there's not, what kind of feedback can you give on something that's really not really very well fleshed out yet? So having a second meeting after it's been through the approval process and just before it's deemed complete, I think would be very helpful to the NA's.
Okay, and then that's where the timelines come into effect.
Mm-hmm. Right, so as soon as an applicant submits their application, we date stamp it at the counter and they pay. And the clock starts on our 30 days. That's a hard 30. So that's trying to fit that meeting into that. And again, originally the challenge is kind of that NAs usually meet once a month. So if they've just met, mm-hmm. you know, the next time they meet might be a day before our completeness review needs to be done or sent out. What changes could you make in that time frame? Basically none. But you know, it sounds like the workaround is the possibility of special meeting.
Right. Yeah. If it's important enough to the NA, they should be able to pull together a special meeting.
Yeah, and I would think if it's important enough to a citizen within that NA that they'll be there or they would try or exactly. have someone come or whatever. So, yeah, that's
so
a pretty good workaround.
The good ideas, like that's a good idea. How do we implement them? Or are they?
Well, I think that's what that it is in here.
Okay. Yeah.
And the other thing that's in here in regards to like you know, having enough time is that the citizens only really see the application, you know, a week or something before the hearing, so it doesn't give you that much time to go through the couple hundred pages of a staff report that I found myself spending a whole Saturday doing one time. So, you know, like, that's, I think it's in here, right, to try to get it to out to the public a finalized report out to the public sooner.
Well, and even having having two meetings with the NA, you know, they have one earlier on in the process, or at least to have a meeting to show any design changes that they've made, and offering that second opportunity for the NA to take a look at it, and that can either be after it's submitted to planning. I mean, if they, you know, if it's possible, they may be able to even do that ahead of submitting it to planning. I mean, if I were a developer, that would make more sense, because if I got more questions and challenges from the neighborhood on design changes, better to do that before you submit it.
Well, and once we get past 30 and into the 120 days, so the next Vicky, just I'm not sure where you're at on all this stuff, but after we deem it complete, from the moment that letter is drafted and sent out to the applicant, we now have 120 days to actually go through the application and, you know, see if everything, if it's met the code, mm-hmm. if it's
120 is for the city,
uh-huh. and that's by state statute.
Yeah.
So on this process flow diagram, which came out of the development of this report, the 120 day period starts here and it ends over here. Oh. And so this has been the public participation area, and then the rest of this is pretty constrained by statute.
Yeah. And you really don't want to get to changing an application once you enter the 120. Because now you really want to do all that stuff up front. That's why you definitely want feedback from the NAs before the 120.
Because if it's significant, and that's you know, a substantial change, and that's sort of that's right. loose as to the definition.
Well, and part of the 120 is to also give everyone, including us, but the developer as well, I mean, time is money, and they, you know, it gives them, I have this, I know this date. It may happen earlier, but I know mm-hmm. it'll be at least, or, you know, it could be up to 120 days. It allows them to plan their process, whether it's equipment or staffing or what have you. I mean, it's not just for, I mean, it's kind of for everyone.
Right.
But yeah, if you get into making major changes in the one and into that 120 days, you might as well just start all over. So instead of doing that, try and get it in the front 30 before completeness is met.
Can I attack staff again? Huh? Can I get attack staff again? So the other frustration that I had with one application was one that was building that was going to be on Willamette Falls Drive in the business district that, you know, they have the zero setback issue and the no parking issue. But the applicant wanted to put parking in there, but was told by staff that, you know, they couldn't because of some setback things. But aren't they able to get a variance? Because I think if the public knew about it, the public would be a little more apt to give a variance to allow for parking on a setback issue than not have any parking at all. But they were told, because I talked to the applicant directly, and they said there's no way that they would get a variance to just to have parking. So what I felt like the public would have been way more accepting of this application, because it was a little contested, but I think it part because parking wasn't as so versus hand dressed as all
was that not addressed in the pre-app? It's open to the public.
I don't know where it was addressed, but I mean, how many people got the pre-app though?
Depends. I mean, again, it's like, where do you want to get involved? You have spaces to get involved as a citizen. I mean, I'm a citizen here, mm-hmm. and we have spaces to get involved. The only thing I'd say to that, really, is not even knowing what building you're talking about, is variances. You can't get a variance if you've created the need for the variance. So if there is some sort of thing on my property, a slope, I did not create the slope.
It was a tree issue.
I'd have to, I mean, honestly, I'm not looking at the application, so I really can't comment.
It was like a tree drip line issue, so the building had to be so far set back because of the tree line, mm-hmm. which would mean that, you know, they had to.
Well, I mean, I think ultimately, again, I'd love to, I mean, I can see the app, or tell me what project it is, I can look at the app, but at the end of the day, the conversation really is about the point at which, you know, citizens can be involved in the planning process, and I'm just expressing,
in
120 is the wrong place to do that. It's definitely in the front portion of the process, you know.
No, I understand that. I just, like I said, in that project, I would have wished that citizens could have had some kind of input into
more than they had is what you're asking,
right?
Because there was already the potential for input. No one took it away,
right?
You wish there had been more spaces for
well input. As far as what staff was recommending versus what
did they not know about the input? Is that a communication breakdown then?
Well, I know our NAs know about all the, you know, parts in the process you can get involved in, and the NEP, the presidents,
because, yeah.
and the neighborhood associations right. do.
And that was the biggest issue that the neighborhood, and it reminded me of the special meeting, because we did call a special meeting. Well, the neighbor called us, I wasn't against the project, but I was actually one of them for the project. But the neighborhood was really against it, and a lot of it was because of parking. And so, but you know, the applicant didn't, you know, the applicant person herself, you know, was a single family that was building this, mm-hmm. But had her architect come to the WNA meeting, so you didn't have that personal relationship thing that I did when I sat down with the actual property owner, and she's like, I really wanted to do parking, but the city wouldn't let me, you know, and so I think it was just a little bit of a disconnect there, so... And
it's said in the staff report, we won't allow this.
Well, that I don't remember what the exact so
keeping
words
in mind,
of
keeping
the
in
staff
mind
report
that our staff reports can only be based on the information provided in the application. It's not my opinion.
Yeah.
It's not the other staffer's opinion.
No.
It's simply, this is the application, this is the code that applies. Does it meet the code? Yes. Criteria met, moving on. That's really it. It's
yeah,
not
but
the
I think it was
the
in the pre-app process that she was advised, because they designed it without parking, right? So obviously it was designed without parking by the time it hit for the staff report. But I think it was in the designing phase when she was trying to decide how to design the building, mm-hmm. and she wanted to have parking. but was advised that it wouldn't be possible to have parking.
Okay. Well, there we have it.
So
problem not solved.
So two things to point out from that discussion is that the code we have is the code we have.
Mm-hmm.
And
I understand that.
And we always want a different code.
By the way, that's common for every jurisdiction.
But here's the thing. Like, this is, so I was thinking, because it had to do with the rear setback as well. So it would have meant that the second story of the building would have not met the setback, but the bottom could, and they could have had parking underneath the second mm-hmm. story, you know what I mean?
Like we have, like there's a few buildings like
yeah,
that. Yeah,
exactly. So that's what she wanted to do, but because the setback back here, what that story wasn't going to meet the setback requirement, and I was like, couldn't that be a variance? So it's only one story and not meeting?
Again, it depends. What's it overhanging? Is it an alleyway where trucks have to go through? Is it
no.
A, I mean, I...
It was another...
So property. I will just say again, Shannon, I don't know the application.
No, so. I'm not blaming you. Woo! I'm just saying that I feel like the feedback from the Neighborhood Association could have then maybe gone to the staff person and said, this is what the neighborhood said. Is there really no way we could do this? Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and all I'm saying is absolutely. And we're talking about adding more places in the process for that to be possible. I'm also clarifying there are places right now where that can't happen.
Yeah.
So I just want it to be clear.
No,
it's
I
not
understand.
As if the public has no space to have those discussions, but we are talking about adding more. And I think it's a good idea. I like it. But I just being clear that it's not as if it's done in the dark and we're like, well, deal with it. You know, it's pre-application conferences, you know, points to write letters, to see the application, send out notice, things like that. So you're right. I mean, we're talking about adding more, which I think is a good idea. And the developers we see that reach out more to the NAs, or at least to the NAPs, but to NAs, they're typically more successful and things run typically smoother through the process. And we encourage them to do that. They don't always listen, or when they go, they don't always do the best job expressing it, but we want them to be involved because it makes my life 10 times easier. I get fewer hate mails, you know, so that's a lot more fun.
And the notification process, I mean, right now the NAs are notified, and everyone within 500 feet is notified.
Correct.
This report, I mean, when we were, just so you know, Vicki, there was about 50 meetings in 2017 and first half of 2018 that went into making this report. So it was a real distillation of all those discussions. But we talked about having a change to the notification radius and increasing it to 750 or 1,000, but recognizing that places a financial cost on whoever the applicant is. So even if it's, you know, someone who's, you know, building a single family home and they have to go through the notification process.
Because it has to be by mail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be by email.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hard mail to the address, the property address.
Yep.
But maybe the city could post it on the website or on the Facebook when an application is
so
a certain
still,
size
yeah.
is put in.
So send it out to the notification area, but just post it so everybody knows.
Yeah. Well, it's already on the website. It'll go on the website immediately.
But I mean,
you're
you have to go to
the
but how many people go to the website? Oh, what application came in today?
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know.
So the other thing you can do is you can sign up for emails from the city, and so you get an email for every pre-application
yeah,
conference that's
yeah.
held.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives you a heads up on stuff. But between the pre-app and the actual application
yeah.
being submitted, I mean, it could be mm-hmm. 3 months or 6 months or
oh, yeah.
a year
yeah.
or longer.
Yeah, it's so, I can't remember what's a pre-app, 180 days.
Yeah.
They have 180 on a pre-app that it lasts for 180 days.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's right.
So how many days or 18 months?
It's probably on the sheet.
I think it's in here. Isn't it?
Yeah, it probably is. I should know that. I just can't remember. 180 days.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and what is that, 6 months?
Right. And some projects take even longer, so they have to come again.
Yep.
For another pre-op.
You get extensions, too.
Yeah.
Complicated or things change. Right?
Yeah.
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 So this was submitted to City Council?
Yes. So what's the date on this? Like July
17th?
2018, and it was submitted to City Council right after that. So
I would suggest that we again remind the City Council that this is the ball is in their court on this. And
yeah.
I'd like to see some action on it.
I agree. I'll draft up a letter. Work with Chris.
Yeah, you have to work through it. Work it through. I'd be happy to help. How's that?
So unless there's anything else on that, Vicki, you came in and you don't necessarily know who the rest of us are.
Oh, yeah. So. Oh, and Dan, someone's in the room. Vicki's here. I don't think we actually told you that. Sorry.
Hey, Vicki.
Hello.
So I'm Gary Wolvotny.
Okay.
And I'm on the Planning Commission. And
I'm Ed Schwarz, and I'm the representative from the Neighborhood Association of Presidents.
And Shannon Knight, I'm business representative.
Chris Myers, I'm planner, city staff.
Okay, I pick on him.
It's good.
And Dan is new and he's out of town as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, nice to meet you all.
Yeah.
I won't be late next time. I won't be in Salem that day. So.
It's a tough drive.
Oh, my God.
It's a tough drive.
Horrible. Yeah. It's a tough drive from anywhere.
I don't know why.
Right.
As I was driving, it's like, I don't even know why I'm trying to make this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But. Stressing out. And you have grip on the wheel. Yeah. It's fun. All right.
So this is a great report. I didn't know they spent that much time on this. Mm-hmm. So we got to push the council to try to implement this? Is that what
to take some action on it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can, if you look at the end, you'll see a list of all the people
mm-hmm.
who
yeah.
were involved and
a whole paragraph.
Yeah. So
are these lots are they all attainable, do you think?
We think so, but it's also, I mean, they've been well discussed. But the other part of, you know, council appointing a working group to look at actual code changes that would consider these changes.
That's the next step.
That's where even further discussion could be had. And then getting another view of it, more perspective. So,
okay.
And if a work group was set up, then it would pull in a broad range of people and not. So you would have developers, you would have members of the community, you would have businesses, mm-hmm. you'd have, I mean, just a range so that you'd get another perspective, because maybe some of this turns out to be not easy for a developer to do, but we don't know that it isn't. Mm-hmm. So if there are issues, it would be good to know.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not a matter of my way or the highway is the point. Yeah. So.
And hopefully council will see that we're just talking about the next step. We're not codifying anything here. We're just, let's try to take that next step, get some people together and start moving the process forward.
Right.
Yeah, so it shouldn't take much of their time, especially if like three of them have already seen it.
Right.
Just get it on the agenda.
It's true.
5 minutes.
Famous last words, yeah. Right? Just 5 minutes.
Like we discussed it for 5 minutes.
Yeah, minus the other 40 or whatever it was. Yeah.
So I guess we can move on to the next subject, next item, topics for future meetings. That can be, you know, really up to the CCI. Council can also ask the CCI to consider issues. We can, if you have any items that you would like to consider further, we can add them to the list.
The tree code.
The tree code.
I actually saw that come up in your last kind of thing about this 20% is actually up to 20%, but it used to be at least 20%. How did that happen? So that needs to be revisited.
Before my time. And and so the code is on trees is could be better written. A number of years ago, not that long ago, but there was code that was written, and maybe the issue of significant trees was still around or was present at the time, but there was one particular property that was actually county land within the city, and a number of trees were removed. As you probably
remember. I think my wife may have been there wrapping herself around some trees.
Yeah, it was rather surprising because the issue was actually not initially a Westland issue because the as I recall the property had one home on it, several acres. All they wanted to do was have a second home on the property, and because it was county land and not within the city, they weren't being allowed by the county to add a second residence to the property, even though there was plenty of room. But it was also zoned agricultural, and they logged off all the trees and put in a vineyard. And now that vineyard is gone, and it's now homes and a former Street of Dreams location.
Instead of trees.
And so if you drive down Salamo tonight, you'll be driving right by it.
So this is kind of my problem. It's also no definition of what a significant tree is. So if you look at like Lake Oswego's code, it specifically says the diameter of a tree is significant. Right now, our code leaves it up to the city arborist, which could have a lot of bias there when it's, you know, a developer where the city gets money for this development going through, and you have the city staff member deciding what is a significant tree and what should stay and what should go. Versus all, you know, I came from Lake Oswego where it's clear code that if your tree is a certain diameter, it's a significant tree. And I think our coach could be stronger on what that and not leaving it to a single staff member of what is significant or not. But you're going to see that happen with the school district property because the school district thinks it's agricultural trees, so they don't need a permit to take down any of those trees because they're agricultural.
On Dollar Street. Yeah.
And I argue that if it is not a working farm, it is not agricultural. It hasn't been a working farm in 30 years.
Is it county property or is it within the city limits?
It's within the city.
Okay. Is it really in the city
yes.
Or is it an exclusion? Okay.
It's in the city because it's across the street from Fieldwood Park.
It's
right at the border, I think, right?
I thought it was, but I...
It's in Westland proper.
Yeah. Yeah, the issue over trees has come up repeatedly, and the current code has references 20%. The developers have taken it. Those who probably have a better sense of what the intent was say that they're saving at least 20% of the trees. And actually the code says something quite the opposite.
Which doesn't make any sense. Up to who would save, then I could save zero, right?
Exactly.
That doesn't make any sense. When I heard that the other night, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I mean, you can save zero?
Yeah.
No, I think that would be a worthwhile topic for
yes.
the community to take up.
I agree. I would appreciate that. Any other member comments?
I think this would fall under either topics for future meetings or member comments. Last Thursday, I attended a meeting of the Parks and Rec Advisory Board. I don't mean to pick on them in particular, but what I noticed was on the back of their agenda, they now have a new, I believe this is fairly recent, set of what they call meeting protocol. And as part of the meeting protocol, if you look at 3B, for instance, they're talking about community comments. They say a maximum of 3 minutes per person at the beginning of the meeting. And then no public comments, 3D, during the agenda items, unless invited by chair. And then again, at the last 10 minutes of the meeting, you have member feedback on agenda items. And it concerned me when I saw this, because unless you're invited by the chair, they would go through their agenda and make decisions, and you really can't provide input as that decision is coming up. And then secondly, I was concerned by the 3 minute time limit, because that's not a lot of time. And so my question is, for this committee, I guess, is there any kind of standardized code that the city has for committees?
We have the same thing at EDC. We went through this.
Is it the 3 minutes?
It's the 3 minutes, because that's what's in the code.
And we have 3 minutes on Planning Commission as well. And
I thought you had 5 minutes for public comment.
It's got to be a minimum. You could make it more.
It's a minimum, but the neighborhood association representative gets up to 10 minutes.
Right.
So I think City Council changed their limit to 5 minutes, but we've kept ours at 3 minutes. And part of that is, I'll just be honest, sometimes it's nice to have something written if someone's coming in to testify on a project, we accept all the oral testimony. That's great. If there's some documentation, photos, anything like that, staff will make copies of it and give it to us. And if it's submitted early enough, we'll even get it ahead of the meeting. And usually 3 minutes is enough to present the issue at hand. And we can allow it to go longer, depending on them.
Okay. So our code, city code, does actually say somewhere in the code.
It's not in. Okay. It's not in the code, but I think it's in the council.
Council rules or something.
Council rules.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I was not aware.
It was 3 minutes, but I think it's 5 minutes in council rules now. Does that sound right?
Yeah, but I think for all of the committees, I think it's still 3 minutes.
Okay.
We had a whole discussion on that too. I wasn't happy about it either, especially at the beginning of the meeting. I mean, I guess because if you have the agenda or whatever, but stuff does come up and then you're not allowed to say anything. And we've had to have times where we've had to stop people from talking because they wanted. And for the most part, I don't think it's an issue for us. We have, sometimes difficult people that come, and that's why we had to put the rule in. I think it's kind of normal.
Okay. Well, I thought this was kind of, this came, I don't remember seeing this before, so okay.
I mean, if you think there's a problem and it should be reviewed, it is the rule, but I guess the point of this committee is that we could change, ask for change for the rule because we don't think it gives enough public input.
Okay.
right?
Yeah. Well, I think there's two aspects that, you know, concerned me enough to bring it to us tonight. One was the 3-minute limit versus 5 minutes. Secondly, was having to be invited by the chair. I think if you have a comment regarding an agenda item, to wait until the end of the meeting is kind of useless if they're going to have a vote or, you know, pass some, make some decision on the agenda item. And if the chair isn't willing to recognize you for your comment during the discussion, I think, you know, that's not so great. I think that everybody should, whoever wants to comment on a particular agenda item should be given, again, 5 minutes, 3 minutes to comment on those items. So,
I mean, I do think it's fair to say comments should be taken on a specific agenda item, but I don't know if it's before, you know, and it's going to be on the agenda, if that makes a difference or not. I mean,
well, I think, you know, I'd like to, if you can give, you know, I know, again, just looking at the council, if you go there and go to community comments, they only want comments on things that are not on the agenda,
right?
Because then they allow you, when they're addressing each item, to they have comments specifically for each item. And again, if we were to say, well, if you want to talk about something on the agenda and do it at the beginning at community comments, I don't think that has the same weight as if you're giving your comments right while the committee, in particular, whatever the committee is making, having their discussion.
So, and on the Planning Commission, we have public comments at the beginning, but those comments are not associated with agenda items. So, anything else? And then the agenda items would allow public comment during that process, especially if there's a hearing and there's oral testimony, then that's the time to say something.
So I just wanted to bring it up tonight and see if we wanted to look into it any further, or if we feel like, I mean, if people are comfortable with the way it is now, that's the way it is.
I think it's worth discussing.
Or asking why they're doing this.
Right. I think it's probably the same reason as us, as we did it. Just because it's
trying to control a little bit of
try to control the room a little bit, because
there's a few people that cause, I don't want to say cause problems,
but see, the usual
meetings all the time.
A few ruin it for the rest of everyone. Mm-hmm. As in everything in life. That's why I can't sit in my car while I listen to music while I'm getting an oil change, because some idiot decided to turn on the car and now they take your keys from you. And you don't let you have your keys while you're getting an oil change. So I'm like, this is stupid. I have to sit here in silence because some idiot started the car. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Any other comments?
I just wanted to clarify, mostly for you, not necessarily for this group, although, so I can wait and do that afterwards when we're off tape if you want, but about why PC didn't see the Main Street stuff.
Oh, we can discuss that afterwards.
Okay.
Because I would like to know why, too.
Okay.
Okay. With that, we're adjourned. Thanks for calling in, Dan.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Cheers, everyone.
Thank you, Dan.
Have a good one, Dan.